you this morning as you sit down. Thank you, worship team. I was reading a BBC News article. Sounds posh, isn't it? I was looking at BBC News on the iPad this morning. And I saw this article, and it jumped out at me. And it was talking about statistics, national crime statistics in Greater Manchester. And it's reportedly that it's up by 40% in 1 year. That it's risen by 40%. See, we're living in a time that you just need to switch on the TV or pick up the local paper or speak to people that and read depressing headlines. And you're seeing bad news. There's uncertainty all around. There is people living in fear. There's people that are even actually scared to come out of their house. There's people scared to open their door because as crime is rising and things are rising. But we know that when crime is rising, God's people need to start rising also, amen? That God's people need to start advancing and start going forward because we're living in a time that we have the good news. See, we have the good news. We have the good news that Jesus Christ can heal. We have the good news that Jesus Christ can restore. We have the Jesus Christ, the good news that Jesus Christ loves a hopeless person. That Jesus Christ loves a gang member, and he loves a homeless person, and he loves a prostitute, and he loves a school teacher, and he loves a banker, and he loves a university student. We have the good news, and if we have the good news, we need to expand that good news. We've been given the good news not to for ourselves. We've been given the good news because God has given us a mandate. Because God has called us and God has risen us up and he saved us and he set us free. We have the good news that prison doors can be open. That people don't need to be bound. See, you don't need to be in strange ways to be in prison. You can be sitting here this morning and be in prison. You can be in prison in your mind and you can be in prison with circumstances. I don't know about you, but you can sense and feel that we're in a battle season. That the enemy isn't just going to let this gang invasion just come sweet. That he ain't going to just let this gang invasion just let everything be good. Be on your guard and be prepared and be ready. You have the good news and the enemy doesn't want you to spread it. He doesn't want you to go out there. He doesn't want you to be an ambassador for Christ. See, I woke up last night 12 o'clock with my little boy being sick. Straight away, something's happening. All right, end up in the bed with us, cleaned the sick up. Woke up this morning, put the hot water on, boiler packed in. I know that something good's going to happen. I know that we're on the edge of a breakthrough. I know that if you weren't here on Wednesday night, let me tell you, you missed out in the battle of your life. We were in here on Wednesday night and we done battle in prayer. And let me tell you, when God's people pray, when God's people advance, then let me tell you, then the devil is scared. See, the devil is scared, and he knows that if we walk in the boldness that God has called us to be and be carriers of the good news that he has given us, then let me tell you, he will be trembling. But let me tell you, he ain't just going to let you do it. He's going to bring circumstances. He's the discourager of circumstances. He's the discourager of things that happen. But let me tell you, if he's the discourager, that Jesus Christ is the encourager, that greater is he that is in you that is in the world. And let me tell you that if you're going to go forward, you need to make your mind up, your heart needs to be set, and you need to be ready to fight. Is there any fighters in the house? Is there any people that's ready to fight for the good news? Is there any people that's willing to get their hands dirty for the gospel? They're willing to go the extra mile. They're willing to preach. They're willing to scream. They're willing to shout the good news for Jesus. See, when we refer to the gospels, we refer to the good news. And what is the good news? That Christ died to pay the penalty for our sin. so that we might become children of God through faith alone in Christ alone. See, we in here, we're all saved in here. I don't know if it's all people that usually come in. We're all saved in here. We're all children of God. And we've got the call of God upon our lives. We know what God has done for us. We know where God has brought us from. We know the battles and the victories that we've already won. But we know that when we read the Bible, that the victory is already done. We just need to walk in it. We just need to walk in it because Christ has already won it for us. We just need to keep walking. See, God has never made a person that he doesn't love. Everybody matters to him. When Jesus stretched his arms out wide on the cross, he was saying, I love you this much. But we must have that love for the unlovables when we see them on the street. Because you're going to meet people that you ain't straight away. They're going to come against you sometimes. They might even spit at you and talk bad at you and bring you down and mock you and throw stuff at you and say stuff about you. But you've got to walk with that love of Christ. See, the Bible talks about the love that compels us. See, there's a compelling, that love, that duty that, you know what? Jesus set me free, so let me set someone else free. That Jesus reached me, let me reach someone else with the good news. Let me tell everybody what Jesus has done in our lives. But see, but sometimes there can be fear. But perfect love casts out fear. See, you think of a parent. Any parent would run into a burning building to save their children. Because his or her love for that child is greater than their fear. See, if you've been afraid to share the good news with those around you, ask God to fill your heart with his love for them. Then there won't be fear. Because when your heart's filled with love, there's not fear there. You're excited, it's bubbling over. You're glowing, there's a joy, there's something different about you. And people see that when they see you. They see that you're not the same as everyone else. They see that there's a light, there's something shining, there's something different, you're talking different. You're talking because you've had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And once we've had that encounter, he calls us to go out there. He calls us to go out there and share the good news. He calls us to go out there but you know what? What are we willing to do? What are we willing to do to go out there? Are we willing to invite our neighbors and our families to church? Are we willing to share our stories? Are we willing to take them a meal on the street? What are we willing to do so people can hear the good news? Do we pray for them until they get saved? Do we pray and spend that time in prayer till they get saved? I know many of you know that my daughter was in the women's home. I prayed for her for about 8, 9, 10 years or whatever it was. I prayed faithfully every day. And I seen the fruit of that. And when we were at prayer on Wednesday night, there's power in prayer. I was praying and my family sorted. My brother and my mum and dad's never spoke for about, I think it's 12, 13 years now. They live around the corner for each other. They'll be in the shop together and not even speak to each other in a shop. Like my mom, my brother could be at front, my dad could be behind them. They wouldn't even acknowledge who's who. They would just walk away there. His wife and him would walk round by their window with the grandkids and telling the grandkids, don't look in the window, don't look in the window. There's a lot of stuff that's happened. But in prayer on Wednesday night, I was praying. And it's like, God, tell me. I was like an eagle. I was looking into the circumstances. And I saw a table. And I saw my mum, my dad, and my brother at that table. And they were talking and they were communicating. And God told me, saying, you know what? Never give up. Never give up in your prayer. Because the word that God says, if you believe, then your household shall be saved. It's not your timing, it's God's timing. Only thing that you can do is keep praying and keep praying and keep praying till you see that happen. It may not happen in a year, it may not happen in 10 years, but let me tell you, if God has promised you it, then it will happen. Don't get tired or weary of doing good, for in due season you shall reap a harvest, the Bible says. Your due season could be today. Your due season could be next week. But whenever your due season is, don't get weary in the waiting and be still and know that he is God. Know that God is for you and nothing can be against you. See, we've got to understand this morning that we have something that people are looking for. That we have something that people are desperate for. That we have something that people are just waiting for. The ground is so ready right now. The ground is, the harvest is so ready right now. It's there for the taking. It's there for God's people to march in to the enemy's camp and take back everything that he has stolen from us. The ground's ready. You just need to look around. Salford and Manchester, it is ready. And it says in Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7, it says, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." Are we a church that's overflowing with thankfulness? Are we a body? We are brothers and sisters that are overflowing with thankfulness for what God has done in our lives, that where God has rescued us from. What, I don't know about you, but I'm so excited for this gang invasion coming up, and I'm not even gang. I wish I was gang. I'm gang, whatever. I'll just change my birth certificate. I'm gang. But I'm so excited. Why? Because you know what? Because I've been lacking in that area. I've been struggling in that area of evangel. I love the streets. But sometimes we get caught up in busyness and we get caught up in other stuff and we forget the basics, that it's all about the soul in the street, that it's all about that broken person, it's all about that single mother, it's all about that drug addict and that prostitute, it's all about that person in Tesco's and Morrison's and Asda and Lidl's and Aldi's. If you're listening to the podcast, I'll give you my address later. A wee cut for them. But you know what? But we have the duty to be carriers of the good news. See, it says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, "And it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who comes to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." See, Christ wants us to give us that boldness to step out. He wants to give us that boldness to step out and trust in him, that you have a testimony, that God has brought you through some tests, that God has given you some victories, that you've won some bouts, that you've had some knockouts, that you've won some prizes, that you've done some stuff, but he wants you to take it out there and spread it. And he wants you to tell the people that, you know what, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to him. You go to Piccadilly, there's many people telling many different ways where you can go. You just need to look around. I was thinking the other day, you walk about Salford, especially even Salford now in Swinton, you'll see that group with the board. I think it's Jehovah Witnesses or I can't remember what they are. I'm not. But wherever you go, they're there. Rain, hail, or snow. They're standing there with their board. If it's raining, they've got their umbrella up. They'll be at the train station one day. They'll be at Swinton Precinct the next day. They'll be at Salford Precinct the next day. They'll be there. But they just stand there. And I learned an amazing thing. Thank you to Pastor Colin, who educated me on this the other night there. They'll never approach you. These people with the boards, they wait for you approaching them. That's what they do. They'll know. I've walked by them 1,000 times wanting them to say something to me. But they'll never ever say, "How are you doing? They'll never ever say nothing. And I've looked at them getting eye contact and everything, just saying, "Please say something, just so I can, I've got 10 minutes to spare, I can get a laugh." Do you know what I mean? But they never ever say nothing. But they're still there faithfully. But how many know that we're not ashamed of the gospel? How many know that we've got the boldness that it doesn't matter? We'll speak. We've got a voice and we are hashtag loud about it. Amen? How many people are hashtag loud about it? That we don't care. We'll shout it from the bus. We'll shout it from the phone box. We'll shout it. It doesn't matter, because you know what? We have got the Spirit of God, and the same Spirit that rose Christ from the grave, it dwells within us. We've got the power. We've got the fire. And we've got the Holy Ghost boldness. But the problem is, you see them more than you see us out there. And that's across the board. Wherever you go, you'll see them. But wherever you go, do you see us? I believe we're coming into a season, you know what? That this gang invasion is going to start to stir us up. It's going to give us the boldness and the desire and the hunger for the streets again. It's going to give us that sharp eye. Because how many know that you've got that eye, you're looking for souls wherever you go? It's like a soul radar. You're looking for people. You're looking for someone you can share the good news. You're looking for someone you can talk to. You just want to tell somebody about Jesus. I believe that we've lost that for a season, but it's coming back. It's coming back within the church. That people are going to be standing in Tesco's and they'll just start preaching. Then they'll just start sharing. Then they'll just start telling their testimony. Because there is no shame in the gospel. But I want to look at a couple of things this morning. And the first thing is that you need to commit your life and submit your will to Him. You need to commit your life to God and submit your will to Him. It says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He finds acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." See, we need to allow Christ to reign in us. See, He reigns in us, then we take Him out to them. He reigns in us, then we take it out. He has to be first in our life. He has to be number one in our life. He can't be second. If He's second, then you always need to ask yourself, who's first? If He ain't first in your life, then who is first in your life? If He ain't the center of your life, who is the center of your life? I remember before I got married, God showed me an image of one of the bamboo sticks and two flowers growing around it. And the bamboo stick represented God and it represented everything in Christ. And the two flowers represented Simone and myself. But what God was showing me was, the bamboo stick comes out, the flowers die. You remove the bamboo sticks, the flowers will hit the ground. And that's what He was showing me in my marriage. And if Christ isn't the center, then you ain't got a marriage. And it's like us as Christians, if Christ ain't the center, then what are we doing? If He ain't first, what are we doing? If He ain't our number one, what are we doing? Then who is our number one? Who is our attention on? What is getting all our energy? What is getting all our time? Is it Facebook? Is it Twitter? Is it the TV? What's getting all our time? Is it God that's getting all our time? Because if God was getting all our time, then you know what? Then we would be overflowing. We would be bubbling over. But you can see someone. See, sometimes you just want to just click in, clock out. We don't want to spend that time. We don't want to spend that intimacy with God. We don't want to get to that secret place. We don't want to get in that cupboard and put the music on and cry out to God. Because sometimes we can be scared. Sometimes we can be scared again because God starts to reveal stuff. And He starts to show stuff. And He starts to tell you, you know what? You ain't got it together. But with Him, you can have it together. With Him, you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. It doesn't say with you. It says with Him. But that comes out the secret place. That comes out that place of prayer. That comes out that place saying, God, not my will, but your will be done. See, that's boldness. That's confidence saying, God, you know what? I gave you my all. I gave you everything. Here you are, God. Use me. Use me, God. And God will use you. God will anoint you. And God will send you and release you to be a witness for Him. See, the thing I love about the men's home and the homes is it's a place of transformation. It's a place of change. It's a place where you die and Christ lives. It's a place where you get connected. It's a place of freedom. And we come into the church and the church is a place of belonging. And the church is where we find out where we fit. The church is where we find our calling and we become part of a family. We become part of a great family. We become part of a family that fight together and pray together and fast together and worship together and praise together and go into battle together. Because if one falls, we pick them up. We don't leave them down. We pick them up. And that comes, why? Because we are surrendered to Christ and we are a family. Victory Outreach Manchester is a family. And we are committed to be disciples of Christ. We are committed to be followers of Christ. And to be followers of Christ, it means not getting spiritual fatness or not getting spiritual overweight, but getting spiritual that when God gives you something, it's not for you. Sometimes it is for you, but usually it's for that brother, or it's for that sister, or it's for that person you'll meet in Piccadilly, or that person you'll meet at Salford Precinct. But we need to be bold when God gives us a word. We were at prayer on Wednesday, and we're praying for different things, and the Lord showed me something about somebody. They showed me a word, and it was one of them ones, I can't say that. Have you ever heard that? That, I can't say that. What if I've got this wrong, man? He'll crack me. It was one of their ones. Well, if I get this wrong, man, I'm going to look like a right idiot. So I said, I started praying for the, then I got him to the side and I said, you know what, this is the Lord has shown me. And at the beginning, the guy was like, but then 10, 15 minutes later, he came up to me and he went spot on. He went, thanks. See, we need to be bold enough to approach anybody. We need to be bold enough to approach anybody on the street. We need to be bold. That's what I love about Victory Outreach, the boldness. It doesn't matter if there's a group of 20, 30 people. You'll get somebody who'll just march right in and start preaching the gospel. That's boldness. That's knowing that what God has done in their life. Because it says in Matthew 5 that we are the salt of the earth. And it also says that you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under the bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. See, we've been called to be the salt and we've been called to be the light. God has given us something not to keep it in dimmer. Not to keep it in our own little dimmer switch. Where we turn it on when we want to switch it up. When we turn it up when everything's going well. When we make that light a bit brighter when everything's going great, when we're on the mountain. When everything's going great, we've had victories, we're blessed, hallelujah. And you, but what you like when you're not? What you like when you're in the trenches is your light shining. What you like when you're having a bad day is your light shining. What you like when you're going through some madness is your light shining. What you like when everything's coming against you is your light still shining. Because how many know that it pushes back the darkness? But you have to switch it on to push it back. Because if you don't switch it on and you're dimmer, how many know that that darkness will all of a sudden start to overcome you a little bit? Then all of a sudden you start to feel depressed. And you start to feel down. And you start to feel like, you know what? I don't even want to pray today. I don't even want to come to Wednesday night prayer. Have you ever been like that? Let's be honest. I've been like that a few times. I can't even be bothered. And we get that apathy. And it crawls over us. And it's a spirit in Manchester and Salford, apathy. Where people just can't be bothered sometimes. Where people just don't want it sometimes. Where people don't want to put their hand to the plow sometimes. When people will just walk by a treasure out of darkness sometimes. When people just don't care, they can't be bothered, they're too busy, they're under it. But how many know that Christ died so we could be over it? That Christ died so we are more than overcomers? That He doesn't want us to be defeated, but we're winners. We're called to be winners. We're called to be the light. We're called to be the salt. God knows what you need when you need it. And God knows that there's dying people out there. And how many know the laborers need to get ready? The harvest is ripe, but the laborers need to get ready. It's not about me and you. It's about Him. It's about Christ. It's about reaching out. Reaching the lost and the broken and the hurt and the bound. That's what it's all about. You're saved. You're safe. Step out in faith. Reach someone. Talk to someone. Cry out for someone. See, another thing that we need to learn from Him is life's and His teachings of Jesus. says in Colossians 3, 16 and 17, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with great gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. See, the Bible calls us to be imitators. If you're an imitator, what are you imitating? Who are you imitating? If people were to look at you, would they see Christ? Would people were to watch you and follow you? Imagine someone was to follow you around with a camera. Just imagine that someone was to follow you around for a week, Sunday to Sunday, with a camera. What would people see? What would the public see? What would people round about you see? They would see you on a Sunday, hallelujah, glory to God, thank you, Jesus. But how would they see you on a Monday? How would they see you on a Tuesday when you miss that bus? You're standing in the rain. It's cold. You're hungry. How would they see you on a Wednesday when you're tired, when you're feeling down? How would they see you on a Thursday? How would they see you on a Friday? Because it should be the same as they see you on a Sunday. People should know that you're a child of God. And there's something wrong that if people don't know that we're children of God. See, we shouldn't even need to speak sometimes. People should see with the way we act, and the way that we react, and the way that we serve, and the way that the simple things, like sitting on a bus, one of the things that disgusts me, I can say is a word, yeah, is when you're sitting on a bus and an old lady will come on, and there'll be four or five people sitting with headphones on, and they'll look at the old lady or the old man, then they'll just put their head back down. See, I was never brought up that way. I was brought up, get up and give them a seat. But today's society are selfish. Today's society is all about them. Today's society have lost that edge. See, you can blame it on a lot of things, a lot of maybe fathers not being there and broken marriages and different things, and we can blame it and all that, but that's fine, but how do we do it? Do we get up and give them the seat? I've seen me getting off halfway down a bus to go and say to an old, come on, come get my seat. There you go. And just saying, God bless you, and walking away. And you can see people in the bus looking at you going, I should have done that. I should have done that. But they didn't. Why? Why did I do it? Why do we do it? Because of him. That's the good news. That's the good news to people. When they see you putting your hand out, when they see that you care, when they see that you know what, that you've got a genuine love, when they see that you know what, that you're no interested in what you can get off them, the only thing you're interested in getting them is to their destination, which is heaven. You're only interested in getting them off the road to hell. See, when they see there's a genuine love and a genuine care and there's a genuine concern, then you know what? Then their heart starts to get open a bit. Then they're a bit more open towards us. But if you're just like everyone else, then why should they come to church? Why should they follow Jesus? I remember being in the home in London and giving out flyers for an event. And we're down by Wavenstow train station. And it was me and there was two brothers. And the two brothers were in the flesh and they were arguing. Giving out flyers Saturday morning. Didn't they want to be there? But done it anyway. We're singing a joy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's just get it finished and we can get him. But the two brothers started arguing. And they weren't swearing at each other, but it was good as. And I remember one of them offering this lady the flyer. And the lady picked the flyer and threw it back at him. He said, why would I want to come to something like that when you're like that? I just went like, wow. And that's never ever left me, that. That's what they thought was normal. But see, we need to be people that are always reaching out. We need to be people. And this gang invasion coming up is going to give us all an opportunity. It's going to give us an opportunity. It's going to give us an opportunity to step out. It's going to give us an opportunity to go to the roughest areas and the darkest areas. But how many know they might be the roughest areas and the darkest areas, but how many know we've got the brightest light? We've got the brightest light that will shine in those areas. That when we go out there as a team and we go out there as an army and we go out there as radical, addicted to the cause, Christians, bold and on fire, then we're going to see lives changed. But what happens after the event? What happens after the event? Is it just like that balloon that deflates? Or do you keep it going? Do you keep it going? Do you keep it going? Or is it just another event? See, God doesn't want it just to be another event. He wants it to be a life change. A life that says, you know what? That we don't just need to wait for an event to go in the streets. We don't just need an event to pray more. We don't just need an event to fast more. We don't just need an event to do more stuff. But it should be a daily lifestyle, a daily lifestyle. Because there's people dying out there. And there's people lost out there. And it ain't just going to come themselves. We have to go. We have to reach out. God has called us to reach out. See, a disciple is a student. Are you a student of God's word? Are you a student of God's word? Are you a man or a woman that searches the scriptures? Are you a man or a woman that have a foundation of faith? Are you a man or a woman that knows your doctrine? Knows your stuff that, you know what? That when people can tell you something and you just say, you get the click. You get the check straight away and say, you know what? You know, what you're talking ain't right. See, the Bible doesn't say this, but the Bible says this. See, the Bible doesn't say that, but the Bible says this. And you speak with authority, because a student of God's word will speak God's word with authority, because it knows there is power in God's word. It says in the Bible, I think it's in Jeremiah, is my word not like a hammer? See, God's word is like a hammer. It can smash any hardness. It can smash the most hardness of hearts. But you have to have the word of God inside you. There is no point in going out there if you ain't got it inside you, because if someone comes and they start telling you their doctrine, before you know it, you'll end up agreeing with them. Because it happens. It happens. Sometimes you're on the streets and there's people come there and they come and they get in between. They say, this is no right and this is no right and this is no right. We need to know what's right. We need to know what's right. We need to know our doctrine. We need to know God's word. We need to know what we believe in. We need to know it. Because if you know that you believe in, then you can tell someone else what you believe in. But if you don't believe it, how can you tell someone else to believe it? If you don't believe in what it says, how can you tell someone else to believe in what it says? It has to come from you. It has to come from your maturity. It has to come from your studying of God's word. That's why we've got teachings. That's why we've got connect groups. That's why we've got vetting. That's why. Because we want the saints equipped. We want people equipped. We want people who are going out there with full ammunition. We don't want people going out there with cap guns or potato guns. We want people going out there with the word of God deep inside them, that when the Holy Spirit gives you the boldness, that you can speak. Because how can you bring out what you ain't put in? It's like going to the bank and knowing you've no money in the bank and putting the card in and expecting to take £50 out. You ain't going to get it. It has to be inside you. There's an urgency. It has to be inside you. We're at the end times. Just watch the news. We're at the end times. And the Bible says people will be taken away and all that stuff at the end times. We need to know our doctrine. I don't know why I'm on that, but we need to know our doctrine. We cannot be wishy-washy. We cannot be kumbaya, as Pastor Paul says. We need to be radical, but we need to know what we're talking about. We need to know who we're talking about. We need to know the power and the demonstration of what God can do in someone's life. We need to know it. I encourage us this morning, if you're a disciple this morning and you've lost that hunger, you need to get that hunger back. You need to get that hunger back for God's word. You need to get that hunger back for the scriptures. You need to get that hunger back where you're studying and where you're fasting. And I'm preaching to myself and I'm saying amen to myself because I need to get that hunger back. I remember I was hungry at one time, but lately I've just been hungry for food. That's what it's like sometimes. Have a Dorito instead of doctrine. I can be honest. Sometimes we can lose our hunger for God's word. We think we've made it. We think we know enough. But let me tell you, when you get into God's word, you'll know, you'll find out you don't know enough. You don't know enough. But how else are you going to get to know it? Unless you spend time with the Creator. Unless you spend time in God's Word. I was going to lift my Bible up, but I've not got one. So lift the iPad up. Spend time in God's Word. Quality time. It cannot be business as usual. We're at the end. It cannot be business as usual. And we need to recognize the power we have. We need to recognize the power we have as Christians. We need to recognize that power. It says in Acts 1 verse 8, one of my favorite scriptures, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. See, we're Christians in here. We're born again in here. We have the power in here. But the power's not for yourself. The power's to be a witness. The power's to reach out. The power is to share the good news. The power is to be radical. He ain't powered you up to look good, to feel good, but he's powered you up to do good for the honor and the glory of God. That's why he powers us up. Why? You will receive power to be my witnesses. It doesn't say you will receive power to come to church. It doesn't say you will receive power just to be this or be that. It's specific. You will receive power to be my witnesses. See, we've been empowered to share the good news. We have been given the boldness to share who Jesus is, what Jesus has done in our lives, and what Jesus can do in their lives. Romans 8 verse 11 said, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the spirit who lives in you. See, we have the power to overcome. We have the power to stand up and to stand out. See, there's no point standing up unless you're going to stand out. We need to be a body. We need to be a church that not just stands up, but stands out. Stands out and makes a difference. Stands out and does a difference. Stands out and reaches out. If we're believing for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people to come through their doors, it's going to take us going out and bringing them in. It's going to take us going out with boldness and confidence, knowing who we are in Christ, knowing our identity, knowing we've been called, knowing we've been filled, knowing that we have the Holy Ghost fire, knowing that we're not ashamed of the gospel, knowing that greater is he that is in us that is in the world, and going out there like soldiers and taking ground and taking territory and telling people, you know what, I ain't Gunchester or Crackchester or whatever kind of Chester, but it's Godchester. And we need to declare it as Christians. We need to declare it wherever we are, that it ain't about the gangs. You don't need to be scared about the gangs or the guns or the drugs. Come to Jesus. Jesus will give you the strength. He'll give you the fire. He'll give you the power. That's where we need to go out there, because he has given us the power. Matthew 28 verse, as Archie comes up please, Matthew 28 verse 18 to 20 says, then Jesus, was Archie, keyboard, thought he was away to Tesco's there. He's there. Then Matthew 28 verse 18 to 20 says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So church, let me ask you this morning. Where are you at? Have you lost that hunger for the streets? Have you lost that hunger for God's word? Have you lost that hunger? Because people do lose the hunger, you know. People do lose the hunger. Sometimes it's hard to get that hunger and that drive back. Sometimes it's hard to get that back to our first love. Back to our first love where it was all about Jesus. Back to our first love where we're not ashamed of the gospel. Back to our first love where it doesn't matter about what people think or what people say, but what matters is Jesus. And as we stand to our feet this morning, I want us just to close our eyes and just lift our hands this morning. And as the worship team come up, I just want us to lift our hands and close our eyes and just ask God to give you that passion. Ask Him to give you that passion. Ask Him to give you that passion. That Holy Ghost passion. That Holy Ghost passion. Ask Him to give you a hunger like you've never had before. Ask Him to give you a determination and a desire that you've never had before. Ask Him to give you such a passion that you are loud about it, that you are crazy for Jesus. Ask Him to stir up the fire inside you. Ask Him to stir it up once again. To stir it up once again. That fire and that passion and that hunger and that drive for Jesus. Oh, Rokorobose.